6664. Thank you once again for supporting WVAI New York Pacifica Radio.
And you are listening to radio station WBAI New York, where the time is 7 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Hook. Yes, the program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Mike.
Hi there.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Kyle.
Howdy.
And from somewhere, Bernie S.
Greetings from New York, but not Harlem.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. First of all right, you're on the telephone. You're not on the spiffy new Comrex unit. Why is that, Bernie?
Well, I'm not on the spiffy new Comrex unit because it's there and it's working, but it's behind a switch or a firewall, and somebody at station management won't make it accessible because who knows why. And the reason I'm not in Harlem is because it's a long story, but it has to do with travel logistics and my getting back to Philadelphia. And if I were to come to Harlem and do the show, I wouldn't be able to do it soon enough. So.
Well, yeah, of course, because you're so eager to be here, you can't possibly get here soon enough. I suppose even though you're here locally, we have to talk to you on the telephone. We can't talk to you live. I'm sorry, what?
I said I know. I'm sorry.
Well, it's just ironic. Yeah, that's what it is, that you're here, but we can't talk to you in the studio or on the spiffy Comrex unit, which is locked up someplace for no reason that we can think of. Yes, Mike?
I mean, as far as I can tell, Bernie S. is only a real person during Hope, and he's just a voice on the telephone at all their times. Hope is ended, so of course he's on the telephone.
Yeah, you're right, but wasn't he an amazing person live at Hope? I mean, a lot of people realized that when they saw him.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, before I lose track completely of the hour, I just want to start by playing a musical piece. That's some bass. Now, the reason we're playing this is one of six tracks that we selected from listeners, from readers, from people going to the website, what we call intermission tracks that people submitted to us for us to play between the talks at the just-concluded HOPE-X conference. And this one is from Rayro. It's called Bursitis. I figured what we do is this hour we'll just go through them and let people know who they are in case you were at the conference and you wanted to know what that music was playing between the talks. And the reason we did it that way was because, well, when we put these things up online, we don't want all kinds of copyright software kicking in and saying, hey, wait a minute, you got to give Madonna money if you're going to have this music playing in the background someplace. This is something that the people who made it wish people to hear it. Like, you know, what real artists are all about. It's not about overhearing a song being whistled someplace and saying, hey, I should make money from that. No, it's about making music and reaching people.
Does this mean that we have to hope that these wonderful people who are so kind to us don't get record deals?
Well, no. I'm sure they will get record deals, but if they do, hopefully they won't make this something that we can't use. I'm sure they have enough control over their own work that they can do that.
I hope you're right, but a lot of times it's not up to the artist, well, or even up to any human being at all. Just things go into a computer and, you know, things come out of the computer.
Well, okay. Well, in that case, we have Bitter Irony, which we can always do a lot with. So
all right.
When that day comes, we'll deal with it. But this track is from Ray Rowe called Bursitis. And we have five more to go after this, and we're just going to have them playing throughout the hour. So, yeah, Hope X. It happened last weekend, and my God. Oh, wow, what a catastrophe. What a disaster. Oh, wait, wrong set of notes here. I'm sorry. What an amazing accomplishment. What a triumph. Wow, this was something else. God, a round of applause for you guys, really. By you guys, I mean, well, yes, us here in the studio, maybe, but specifically the people, the hundreds of people who came together and made this happen by volunteering time, by putting in their skill and effort, and also for the thousands of attendees that made this a truly enjoyable event. I say this after every conference, that this was the best one yet, and I was talking to Rob before the show about this, but this one really was the best one as far as things just going smoothly, taking on more than we've ever taken on before, and it just really, it all came together, didn't it?
It came together wonderfully, and yeah, as I was saying before the show, both as a staff member behind the scenes, as an attendee going to talks and events and taking part in the conference, in both ways, it was the best one I'd been to yet, and I've been going to these since the third one, so it's really an accomplishment, and I'm still kind of amazed by it.
Well, there were a number of things that made this particular conference unique. First of all, we had headline acts like you would not believe. We had Edward Snowden speaking with Daniel Ellsberg and basically bringing all of the media outlets into the room. And I have to say, Bernie, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty surprised media really behaved themselves. They didn't turn it into a press conference. They didn't shout down Snowden or Ellsberg and demand to get answers to any questions. They respected our rules, and they were able to film. They didn't block the aisles. Am I right in saying this?
Yes, they were very well behaved. We did send them a pretty clear press policy and set down some pretty clear rules as to where they could set up their equipment, where they could stand, if they could not interrupt, that sort of thing. And they did really well, and they provided an awful lot of pretty good media coverage about this event to the general public. So I'm pleased with their work.
And if you search, go to Google News or something and look for Hope or Hope X, you'll see a bunch of stories. Anything that that stands out in anyone's mind here?
You're talking to me?
Well, you're one of the people here, sort of. But yes, okay. Go ahead.
Well, there was an awful lot of thanks to some folks involved with Radio Statler and with the PR team. There was a press interview space set up downstairs in the mezzanine area.
That's right.
It was used very, very well. We had a countless number of interviews between media, press, and speakers and other people at Hope, and it worked out really well. We got a lot of good interviews, and Hope is all about getting information out to people. So when the press interviews speakers and other folks, it got reported. So everything worked as well. So despite everything, all kinds of things falling apart at the last minute, all those challenges were surmounted and it worked better than we even expected.
And the folks at Radio Statler did a tremendous job broadcasting the conference, interviews, all sorts of variety to the world outside as well. They do this every conference. And I understand archives will be made available. If you go to x.hope.net, click on the Radio Statler button, you'll get all kinds of information on that. And it was I saw one thing from those folks, and it was pretty amazing. They were interviewing Daniel Ellsberg with none of the mainstream media anywhere around, and I just thought that was really cool that they got to do that. Any other stories that anyone else read? I know there was something on Al Jazeera America, which I did not yet get to see, but they had contacted us asking, well, so do you say Hope X or Hope 10? Yeah, because there's an X. I'm glad they checked. You know, it's important. But, yeah, Hope X, that's what it's called.
Did they get it right?
Or I don't
know. You haven't seen it
I did
yet.
Not see the piece. But if listeners out there saw something, I'd like to know what they thought of it as well. We're going to take phone calls in a little bit, 212-209-2900. But guess what, folks? This is a fundraising edition. Yeah,
yes.
It is. You thought we'd miss it? No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that we're doing the Hope retrospective. This is kind of like the Hope closing ceremonies, except not nearly as long. We only have an hour. So what we're going to do today is just sort of go over some of the highlights and interact with some of the listeners, maybe attendees. But we also need to get people to call in and pledge money to the radio station, because the radio station keeps us broadcasting to the world and gets word out on so many interesting things. For one thing, music like what you're hearing now came to us from a listener, and being able to do that, that's the kind of freedom that a lot of people really don't have access to. We can just ask our listeners, hey, do you have any music that you created yourself that we can use between talks at a conference? And boy, do we get a lot of responses.
Yeah, I mean, we really wouldn't be able to do the Hope Conference without this radio station as a voice to explain what we're about and to bring people in. It's really exciting. Unlike some other hacker events I've been to, people from outside the immediate community come because they hear us on this radio program, and they come and ask questions, and they learn a lot, and then many of them become a part of the community. But it would not be possible without this radio program and without this radio station because, you know, as we've discussed so many times, no other radio station would possibly give people like us a program.
No, nobody would tolerate us. That's for damn sure. This first track is about to end, and I'd like to introduce the second track and be right back. Okay, that was the end of the first track. Now, the second track, CD machine, it resets itself. Doesn't just go from track to track. Now you have to start at one again and go over to two. Okay, so here is track number two. And this is from EPIP. It's called Rasta Groove. And you might have heard this a couple of times in between talks at the Hope X conference. You liked this one in particular, didn't you, Kyle?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, we were looking for something that would get people moving in an orderly way out of a room and into a room and not feel like they're being pressured or forced to do that.
And nothing too jarring, but something that's, energizing.
Yeah, people said this music with lyrics, and, you know, it doesn't really work when between talks. Yeah, a cappella stuff, this wasn't really... it was good, very good, but, not something appropriate for this.
Yeah, and I was emceeing in the Serpico room all 3 days, and, yeah, the music that we selected was very good at doing the job. It served the purpose quite well.
Serpico, yeah, okay, so we named... You know, funny story, I totally... Kyle and I were moving things a week ago. I totally forgot about the radio show last week. I don't know if you were trying to reach me, I don't know what happened. All I know is it was something like 10:30, and I was like... Oh, good gosh, except I used some other word, I forget what it was exactly, but you know, I'm sitting outside the Hotel Pennsylvania in a big truck, and I realized that I completely, because of all the activity of that day, I lost track of the radio show. So I hope you guys talked about the conference a little bit, at least.
I think we mentioned it once or twice. And
right.
Yeah, I was trying to get you in on the phone, and you weren't picking up, and I was a bit hurt, to be honest.
Well, you know, no one texted me. Someone had texted me with a message saying, hey, idiot, the radio show is on right now. That would have gotten me to realize, because I did see a 212 number call me. But I get a lot of calls, and if I don't know the number, I don't answer the phone. And, you know, people, you can do that. You don't have to always answer the damn phone. If somebody calls you, you don't know who they are, let it ring. Let it go to voicemail. Let it disconnect.
You can do that even if you do know them.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you just revealed one of my other secrets. But,
that's one of my secrets.
I imagine you talked about the Serpico and Manning and Olson and U rooms. Maybe, Bernie, you could give us an outline as to what those rooms stood for.
Well, one of the themes of Hope X was whistleblowing, and all of those rooms are named after whistleblowers. Obviously, Chelsea Manning, formerly Bradley Manning, had our main hall was named after her, And next to that, the Olson Room was named after a 1950s biochemist who worked for the CIA and was apparently thought to be at risk of exposing the MKUltra program. And apparently was murdered right in the Hotel Pennsylvania back in 1952, right after he quit the program. And then we had the U Room that was for any of you who would like to be a whistleblower. I think all of us learned from listening to Daniel Ellsberg and Edward Snowden and other speakers how important it is to stand up. And if you see wrongdoing, whether it's with a corporation or a government agency, if the people need to know this, they're following secrecy orders is not in the public interest. And we're seeing more and more people who are coming out, whether it's Thomas Drake or Jessalyn Radick or others, that you really need to exercise your obligation to bring wrongdoing at government or corporate levels to the people so we know what's going on.
And then there's the Serpico Room.
Oh, right, Frank Serpico. NYPD detective, or actually just a cop. I think he was just a regular street-level cop back in the late 60s, early 70s, who exposed huge amounts of police corruption, graft, and he was targeted, and they tried to kill him, basically. He wasn't able to come to Hope. He's kind of got a low profile right now. But he really changed how NYPD does things. Of course, there's been some changes back and forth with that.
Well, how could it be any worse than it is now, though? That's kind of wondering exactly about that.
Whenever, that's why you have to keep on this stuff, Emmanuel. You can't just be a whistle. You can't just have a whistleblower change everything for perpetuity. I think Daniel Ellsberg said something about that. Every so often, on a regular basis, people need to come out and say, "Hey, this is what's going on." You can't rely on things staying fixed for too long.
That's true. That is very true. Serpico, you know, it's funny. I remember Serpico was the very first movie that I ever saw on cable. And it was weird, too, because I was a little kid, and I kind of pirated cable without doing anything. My house, we couldn't afford cable, but somehow it bled over on Channel 6 at Brookhaven Cable TV. And I remember... I'm getting way off topic here, but I remember there was a series, maybe somebody else knows this, on Channel 6, this was cable TV back then, they simply had six or seven analog clocks, and the camera would go back and forth over and over again. It would be temperature, time, humidity, barometer. That was the extra channel that you got. And then one day, I could see this with all kinds of static, because I don't know, maybe it was bleeding from the telephone pole or something as it passed right by our house and did not enter it. But one day, I heard people cussing on it, and I was intrigued as, an eight-year-old, whatever I was back then. And I started watching, and it was a movie, and the movie was Serpico. So that was my introduction to Serpico.
Yeah, speaking of the film Serpico, which of course was very popular in its day, Serpico was played by Al Pacino. And when I was making signage for the conference, and I drew portraits of the people we named the rooms after, Manning, Olson, and when I started looking for reference material to draw a portrait of Serpico from, all I could find was Al Pacino. It was really, really difficult to find stuff with Frank Serpico as he looks today.
I'm sure he prefers it that way.
It seems like he does, but finally I found him giving a speech somewhere, and I was able to go from that. But it almost became the Al Pacino room.
Interesting. Well, every year, every time we do Hope, we name the rooms something appropriate. Now, the rooms have different names for the hotel, but we just put our own names on there, and it works. It works amazingly well, and the crowd gets into it and all that. Now, this time, we had very high-level people. We had Edward Snowden being piped in from Russia. We had Daniel Ellsberg speaking with Edward Snowden, and it just made for a completely unique and different dynamic. And I thought the whole thing went extremely smoothly.
Am I correct in my understanding that it's the first time that the two of them have spoken in public?
In public, I believe, maybe, but not in private.
Well, you know, we're not the NSA, so we don't get to see their private conversations.
Are we not the NSA, Mike? Are we really not the NSA?
That's the kind of question the NSA would ask.
Ah,
but,
would it be? Okay. We only have an hour, like I said. And we didn't mention the phone number, I think, to call to pledge, 212-209-2950. Folks, you can get a WBAI thumb drive with all kinds of highlights of speakers, interesting people. Pacifica on a Stick, it's called, for a pledge of $50, gift for all new members. There's an 8-gigabyte thumb drive with 100 different speakers, plus you also get the aforementioned Best of WBAI thumb drive. That's for a pledge of $180. Now, you can become a WBAI buddy and get both for only $10 a month. So that's really a pretty good deal there. $10 a month, it just comes out of your credit card or your bank account or whatever you choose. All you have to do is call 212-209-2950. So if you enjoyed the Hope Conference, if you enjoy what we talk about week after week, think about this. Excuse me. Think about this as the radio station that makes that open and available to so many more people. And show your support for as little as $10 a month, 212-209-2950. Imagine what we would be without this voice, without this way of reaching people. Everything we do, somebody is there to say, you can't do that, that's impossible. Whether it be putting out a magazine and getting it into Barnes & Noble, whether it be having a hacker conference in the middle of Midtown Manhattan in a huge hotel, whether it be doing a radio show on a 50,000-watt radio station in the middle of New York City, there's always going to be somebody saying, no, that doesn't make any sense, you can't do that. And yet, we're doing all that and more. And why? Because of the support that we get out there from listeners, from readers, from attendees. Oh, and our song has ended. Okay, so it's time. I have to hit this this ridiculous button again and go to track number 3. And track number 3, okay, actually, all the remaining tracks now, there's 4 more tracks. All the remaining tracks are from the same artist known as Dropwire. And Dropwire, Kyle, I think you were around for this. We were basically selecting some songs and getting opinions and things like that.
Are you sure it isn't Dropmire?
I can't read my own writing. Yeah, you're right. It is. Thank you. Dropmire. Wow. Well, whoever that is, they probably were signing contracts that have me bumped off for getting their name wrong. Yeah, Dropmire.
Yeah, it's an EP, I believe.
Okay, and we're going to play 4 songs. The first one is called Ultraviolet. Is this it? Yes. And this is the music you would hear between some talks at the HopeX conference. It was up to the people running the board which track they played, and I think they played a variety of them. And this I like this one. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, I like this one too.
All right, so we have 3 more songs after this, and that will pretty much take us through the entire hour, I think. Okay, but getting back to the radio station, 212-209-2950, please show your support, because obviously if we get a good outpouring of support here, it means this place will still be here. It means that we'll still be in this place. Because obviously if our listeners don't support the radio station will say, well, why should we support this? It's not helping. It's not helping the radio station stay alive. So please, take a moment. If you have enjoyed anything we have done, whether it be discussion here, whether it be the magazine that comes out, whether it be the conferences, or anything, take a moment, pledge whatever you can afford. $10 a month sounds like a pretty good deal to me. 212-209-2950.
And, of course, if you'd rather use the web, you could go to give2wbai.org. Make sure to select Off the Hook as the particular show that you are supporting. And you can see everything that's available for you to receive a thank you gift there.
I spent a fair amount of time this weekend at the conference taking people's money, both at registration.
Whoa. What were you doing?
I was taking people's money and letting them into the conference.
No, that sounds like bullying.
Okay, it's the way you said it, maybe.
Yeah, well.
You were at the registration desk.
I was at the registration
desk,
people were giving me money, and I was I didn't keep the money, let's be clear.
You need to walk around a tape recorder and play it back at the end of the day and hear the things that you say, and just maybe you can make some progress that way.
And one of the things that surprised me was that, not a large number, but some number of people asked me if they could give more money because they want to support the work that we do. And that's not really possible in the context of a conference admission. But if the people who were asking for that have some extra money, this is the place to spend it. This is the way that supports us, supports the station, keeps us on the air. If you didn't come to the conference, but you were watching some of it online, as so many people were, this is a way that you can help literally enable the creation of that video and enable the creation of this radio program, of course. 212-209-2950 is the number. And, then we won't take your money anymore.
Yeah, please be generous.
This is a really good way of saying thank you for the excitement that WBAI offers. It's not certain where the station is going necessarily, and we know that that's really exciting to a lot of the listeners.
I hear Brooklyn's our next stop.
That's right. And by supporting the station, you can contribute to whatever magical path the station takes. And I know that provides a lot of interesting stories and entertainment for the listeners.
We're the only station that couch surfs, all right? We go from one location to another in search of a home that won't kick us out. But, you know, it's a lot you can point to and say, oh, my God, how is that even possible? But it is something that's been going on since 1960, and the things that come out over these airwaves are truly priceless sometimes. Sometimes they're not, but sometimes they are. And would you rather have a weird place like this that occasionally does something completely bizarre and outrageous, or would you rather have just another commercial radio station at 99.5? Because you can get that. Just don't show support. Don't call 212-209-2950. If everybody joins hands together and refuses to support this radio station, guaranteed there will be another commercial radio station at 99.5 within a year. And then, will you feel better about that? No matter how weird and strange we are? I doubt it. So invest in the strangeness and weirdness, and something cool will come of that. 212-209-2950.
And this isn't just passive throwing money at us and watching it disappear from your control and go to something else, because by donating, by supporting the station, you also become a member of the station. You get a voice in where we go from here. You'll get newsletters and all that sort of action going on. And you will, if you think you have good ideas about directions the station should be taking, things the station should be doing. And I've looked on the internet. There are a lot of people with a whole lot of ideas of what we should be doing with ourselves. But if you would like that to go somewhere, if you would like to have an actual voice in where things go, become a member of WBAI. Support us. Call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org and show your support.
Yes, and call in, get Pacifica on a stick. This is the station that died for the sins.
The way you said that makes it sound like you're putting Pacifica on a stick.
Pacifica has been crucified and has died for the rest of radio's sins. And just like the mighty Phoenix, will rise again. And you can be a part of that.
You've gotten the attention of the mighty Pacifica Phoenix. You've gotten the attention of the religious sector now. I'm not sure it's the attention that you would like, but they will be calling. And hopefully those people in the tally room, when they receive those calls, can convince them to pay $10 or more a month to hear more of this kind of material, or maybe something else. I don't know. 212-209-2950. Let's go back to Hope. Let's go back to the Hope Conference, because there's so much to talk about, so much to focus on. Kyle, I cannot say enough, and I don't think anybody can say enough about your contributions in particular, because what you did...
Oh, stop.
No, I'm not. Let me say this. What you did somehow was ensure that our network speed was 200 times faster than it was in 2012. Now, let me just give you a little background. In 2012, we had a 50 megabit connection via microwave, I believe. This particular time, in 2014, we had 10 gigabit. And pretty recently, a week or two before the conference, we weren't sure we were going to have a network connection at all. We were facing our distributor bankruptcy, being in the hole for tens of thousands of dollars. It's not the time to go out and improve things. And yet, because that's impossible, that's what we did. And it was your perseverance. It was your stubbornness, your inability to compromise and to accept any other option. Yeah, that made this possible. You forged ahead, and you basically got a lot of cooperation from a lot of different companies and people. Anybody you care to name?
Oh my gosh! Well, we've said a lot of people's names. I can't. I don't want to name any one person, because then like I'll skip out on somebody and be really kicking myself later on. I basically want to thank everybody who listened to me talk about planning this and all the little tips and hints I got along the way. even from the staff at the hotel, so I knew that there were new options, because there are a lot of coincidences and just sort of miracles of new options, and then just knowing what is available and what is possible, that was a whole other extra bit of wind at our sails for the whole thing. So, yeah, to name anybody in particular, definitely want to thank Alex and Attila and all the guys in the Hope Knox that helped out there on site. Anybody, also Roach, he helped out a lot, and Dragos and Nick God, and boy, here I go. I'm going to start leaving people out if I continue too much, because then it'll be that one person. So, I mean, it's really just basically following what things were developing and doing a lot of following up and writing. I know you listened to me kind of pull my hair out and get sort of frustrated in various moments. So I appreciate your patience and guidance on how to work with people, because I don't do a lot of letter writing. Well, I do a lot of letter writing, but sometimes knowing just how to articulate yourself is well something that you can only get from peers and from other people that are there to support you, and that's one thing we had a lot of this time, and I really hope we have it in the future.
Well, speaking support, we had support from so many really cool people in the industry too.
Yeah,
I think that's something that deserves acknowledgement.
Yeah, that's part of the reason. I mean, we had done things.
Hang on a second, you have to wait because I have to go to another track. Again, from Dropmeyer, this will be the fifth track. I'm sorry, the fourth track of the six that we have, and this one is again Dropmeyer. It's called Blackheart.
This is a good song too.
And this was used to move people from one room to another between talks at the conference. And yeah, I do like this one. I think this is one of my favorites. So continue with your what?
Your butt.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Move.
No, we're not supposed to.
Your butt.
Have lyrics to this. No, it's basically people get the idea from the music. So now, Kyle, you were
this track
giving credit to where credit was due to some of the many people that that joined forces together, and anyone in particular you want to focus on?
Yeah, I mean, the people at a lot of the different companies coming together and working really well together. I know, let's see, Zach at Yellow Fiber, Peter at RCN, Reed at Hurricane Electric, James at knack.net.
All these people are amazingly cool to us.
A heck of a lot of other people. People at Mandrill. Names are escaping me. I'm very sorry, guys. And a couple of our other sponsors.
Well, this program help? Because we listed.
Yeah, I've covered pretty much everybody on there. Also, the people at Daily Dot, they helped out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Basically, making sure that we could afford the stuff. And yeah, it was something we had done one way for a long, long time, and then, like I said, this some of the coincidences and tips that we got were stuff that we followed up and made sure, okay, so if we do this way, can we actually pull the right people together and
we've complained about this in the past, that in America, the infrastructure is such that it just seems impossible to pull things off like they do in Holland, like they do in Germany. And I think this time it was a bit of a game changer because, well, we did that. Not only did we do the bandwidth, we were able to do the streaming.
Yeah.
And there were many fine people who stepped up and helped with that as well.
Oh, gosh, yeah. The Internet Society people, our own Ted, who does a lot of the video recording, and the people with Radio Statler helped out a lot as far as pulling that stuff together. And the people on the hotel side, the IT staff for the hotel, I know Z and Fernando at the hotel were really, really helpful and supportive. Also, the people running the pavilion area in general basically gave us the okay to get access to certain places, and were okay with us stringing wires and cables and things in crazy places temporarily. And
there were a lot of crazy places in that hotel.
Yeah, and they basically gave us the access that we needed to make things possible. And we're very enthusiastic about what it is we were doing, and basically gave us the freedom and the ability to be independent that we needed and access and things like that. Like I said, I mean, we are so grateful to them and truly want to thank the hotel on that side. And I will just say that, it is these companies, it's these people that want to work with us. And one thing that I came into doing, going through the plan that we had done in the past and trying to take the good things from that, I was really, wanting to work with people that were excited about working with us. And when you talk to the older companies, the older people that are in there, and you realize, you know, maybe this isn't a good fit anymore because, well, they're not quite so interested. And you've got all these other people who are on the other side of the spectrum who are really, really excited, want to help. They're going, moving mountains, doing backflips to make things.
Many of them came from this community. Many of them came from the hacker community,
exactly.
from the internet and all that, and yeah, they want to give back, and that's awesome.
There came a certain point where we were really down to the wire. I don't know, really close to our deadline, and it was worth pushing a little bit harder and trying to coordinate just that much faster so that we could avoid. Doing what we'd always done and growing with this new method and, frankly, paying for services to people who truly care about our event. I don't think that just to continue with the relationships we'd had would have been as worthwhile. I don't think the other folks we'd worked with in the past were really into it.
Well, you have to change it up every now and then.
That's
pretty much what makes things succeed. In this particular case, though, it served two purposes because not only did we have this immensely fast internet connectivity at the conference that we had never had before, and I dare say very few conferences in this country have had, we were able to use something to really kind of save our asses because turns out when you have Edward Snowden speaking at your conference, lots of people want to come see it, and we started to realize that, we don't have nearly as much space for all the people to be there at once, and it's going to be rather upsetting if the vast majority of people can't make it in there. So what we were able to do, first of all, we had simultaneous streams going, thank God for our AV team who were able to pull that off, and we basically had those filled up as well. We had to send out notices to people saying, look, there's no way that everybody can fit. This is a video stream. It will look just as good anywhere, whether it's you're in the main room or secondary room or even on your own laptop or telephone. You can simply stream it. And we had the streaming ability that worked worldwide that we had never had before. And I've had universal praise for that because that basically made it so everybody could participate in one way or another. And had we not had that, and I'm sure our attendees would still have been patient. They're the most patient people in the world. But it made it so much more enjoyable for them because they were able to be a part of it.
But even at that moment, our attendees showed a great hacker spirit and cooperative attitude because, like, one person would pull out a laptop or a phone or a tablet or what have you and put up the stream so, like, 10 people around them could look over their shoulder and watch it.
Little mini theaters.
Absolutely. And people were gathering around them like campfires and all over the conference in their own rooms. And it was just great to see it all come together.
Yeah, it was cool. So when I was introducing Snowden or was it Ellsberg, one of the two, I was basically acknowledging the different rooms. We were there in Manning, that was the main room, and then Serpico was next door. And I asked everybody in Serpico to cheer, and you could just barely hear them through the walls of the hotel. And then we asked people in Olson, which is attached to Manning, to cheer. You could hear them a lot louder. Then I went all the way down to the first floor, which I knew that people were gathered there on street level, and I asked them to cheer. Of course, we couldn't hear that, but I was told later that they sure did cheer, and it made quite a noise. So things like that really made it an awesome experience.
Yeah, that was the whole other part of it, is getting, you know, working with the people who are really excited and getting them all talking and technically pulling it off and having grown the infrastructure to something that could be just this amazing ubiquitous resource. The fact that we just wanted it because of the importance of the occasion and to complement the production value of the rest of our show and how it historically has been as equally as amazing. We wanted something that was basically reflective of that.
Well, our track has ended. We have the fifth in our series of tracks also from Dropmeyer. This is called Black Pearl. Sorry, I was about to leave the room, but we have to stay in this room for a little while longer.
Dear audience, if you leave the room, then you should walk to the room with a telephone in it and call 212-209-2950 and show your support for this station.
It doesn't work that way anymore. There's no room with a telephone. People have a telephone all the time. So
well, take your telephone
when
with
they
you.
Walk into the room, know. The phone comes with them.
Blink your Google Glass. Well, and just blink the number.
Yeah.
212-209-2950 and get Pacifica on a stick.
Again, the way you're saying it just makes it sound like it's a threat of some sort. Now, you're getting a premium called Pacifica on a stick, which is really awesome. There are pledge levels, $50, $180. You can pledge $10 a month and get everything. 212-209-2950. Bernie, we haven't heard from you in a while.
I'm here. I'm just reminiscing about the millions of things that happened at Hope that are just still, I don't know about you, but I'm still pretty wiped out.
Oh yes,
I
ache in places I didn't know I had. I've been sleeping, but still being tired. But it's an awesome feeling.
It's the best tired to have.
It's so good to slow down a bit and process and take it in a little bit. And I've been enjoying just thinking about what was accomplished, but also freeing up some of my mental space and looking forward to what's next and other fun things to work on and how to build on all of this in other attributes of our work.
Yeah, I can tell we're kind of fading fast already here because you get to go for like an hour or two a day and you just fall right back into a coma. But everything I think has gotten back to where it belongs. We've pretty much locked all the doors we're supposed to lock. And also exciting news: we have selected talks. We have Edward Snowden, we have Daniel Ellsberg, we have Thomas Drake, all up on the Channel 2600 YouTube channel. So if you go to youtube.com/channel2600, you can see the Edward Snowden talk. You can see the interaction with Daniel Ellsberg in his keynote. You can see Thomas Drake. And we're also working on getting the DVDs put together.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of time to to figure out how things work again. But that's the first step.
I was just going to mention we announced the pre-orders for those can be had to anyone interested.
I'd like to focus the remainder of the show and invite listeners to join us on this, talking about some of the personal highlights that we remember as far as things that happened. Our phone number is 212-209-2900 if you have any comments on Hope, good or bad. But if you have bad comments, just know that you'll be in a small minority. At least that's what I think from what I've heard so far. Anyone have any particular favorites of things? I know, Kyle, you and I were on the social engineering panel, and I believe you had a particularly interesting phone call that you made. Usually, I make all the phone calls. Fortunately, this time someone else stepped in and made a phone call, and we had a theme. We had a theme in the social engineering panel of revenge.
Yeah.
Now, I sought revenge against the distributor of our magazine, who basically left us in the hole for a large amount of money, and it's still existing. In fact, if you call their number, they say, we're still thriving, we're just not doing distribution anymore, we're doing publishing. They publish Motor Trend, they publish Stereophile. So my little bit of social engineering was calling a Barnes & Noble somewhere and seeing if they would remove all of those issues from the newsstand just because I asked them to, and say that, you know, we're going to get another shipment next week, so if you could please just take them all off the shelves. I didn't let it go that far, but it was clear that the person there would be more than happy to do that for us. And my thinking was, well, you know what, since this company screwed us and basically took our magazine and didn't pay for it, why not do something similar in return? But again, because we work with Barnes & Noble, with our own magazine, we did not want to affect them in that way. But just a little demonstration. But Kyle, you went a few steps orders of magnitude above that.
I sought revenge from the NSA on behalf of everyone. So, they were just, you know, small little things we could do to maybe cajole them into, realizing the errors of their ways.
Well, you were supplied with a phone number of some I don't know what the guy was saying. Come on, some kind of cyber command, something or other, and you were just trying to get more information about where you could deliver a bunch of Club Mate.
Yes, yes, that I had a driver that was planning on being out there Monday, and I just wanted to confirm where exactly, who exactly I talked to within National Security Incorporated's receiving department. And
National
we did
Security
a little
Incorporated.
Research.
National
yeah.
Security Incorporated. We said that because if you say NSA, it's too obvious. We wanted to make it like sort of like we didn't know what we were talking about, so you throw in an error of some sort.
Yeah, it would have been too perfect that way. And we did some other research. The phone number we had didn't work initially, but someone from the audience got up and passed us a note for, of course, probably the most direct number to anybody who's up at the NSA on a
Never
Saturday.
Underestimate what the audience knows. They have all the information.
I had some interesting conversations with these, some of these folks.
212-209-2900 is our telephone number. Please give a call and share in this conversation.
I, like I was saying, a couple of conversations after the fact, but anyway, we're given some fairly direct lines, and I first picked up the phone and called, and the guy answered, and I started talking, and he hung up on me.
Well, that's not exactly what happened.
Well, the reason is because I didn't realize the mute button. We have a special 500...
It's an unmute button.
Yeah, it's an unmute button. I thought it was the opposite, though. I was supposed to not...
When you're giving a talk in front of 1,000 people...
Right.
It's important to have a button that by default mutes so that they don't hear everything that's being said or laughter or things like that.
So when you let go, it is muted.
And we neglected to tell you that. So you were having this conversation. You thought you were having a conversation with the NSA, and they couldn't hear anything you said, so they hung up.
I knew there was a button on the phone. I just didn't know what it did. I thought it did the opposite of what it actually was set to do.
That is such a novel concept to have the NSA not hearing your phone conversation.
Well, we proved how that can be done. All right, 212-209-2900 is our phone number. Let's hear what listeners have to say. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, Emmanuel.
How you doing? What's on your mind?
Hey, yeah, no, the best, honestly, for me, the best part of Hope is Hotel Penn. I mean, by far.
In what way?
Oh, man. I mean, you were talking about the lots of spaces in the hotel, man. Let me tell you, I mean, I don't know. I thought I had explored it last Hope, and... man, I mean, you can go, like, seriously, you know, it's like 3 stories down underground under the hotel. I mean, I don't want
to... Well, you're not supposed to go down there, but yes, it is really a catacomb of all sorts of nooks and crannies and weird passages and things like that. It's like a city in itself, this building, because we had to move things out on Sunday night, and we were in one of those lower basements, and we saw somebody down the hall inside an office, busy at work, at 2 in the morning... Who is busy at work at 2 in the morning in a sub-basement in a hotel?
No, it's completely terrifying. It's terrifying. In fact, if you keep going down, I think it eventually connects to the Penn Station, but it's been mostly bricked up.
Bernie, I think you have some information on this?
Yes, I found that years ago there's a beautifully tiled hallway or tunnel that goes from under Hotel Pennsylvania over to the original... What was the original Penn Station? Just beautiful inlaid tile work, mosaics. It says to Pennsylvania Railroad this direction. And it's boarded up. You can't get through the tunnel. But it's down there. It's part of history.
A lot of history.
There's no lights down there. You have to take a flashlight to see all this. But it's really beautiful, and it reminds you of what the grandeur of what was Penn Station in the Hotel Pennsylvania. But it's still got its charm.
But again, you're not supposed to go down there, so don't do that. Thanks very much for this phone call. Let's see if we can take another one over here. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I just wanted to make some comments.
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I had a great time. I did receive the email about the crowd, so I did stay home and watch on the internet.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
You know what? And it was great because I was bouncing between the different halls just at a touch of the screen. So that was cool.
Yeah, we had all 3 rooms being broadcast live, just like the CCC in Germany. Wow, we actually did this.
Yeah, and I enjoyed. I came on Sunday, and I was there to see Michael Horowitz for the talk on routers. Routers and how to secure that. So I found that was interesting, and I was really not in the know about what the heck was going on there. And then actually I bumped into you in the hallway in the late afternoon, right near closing time. And I asked you about the thumb drives. And whether was going to come through.
A number of people did that, and I guess we should tell people that we're still trying to get BAI to do that, and that's why we don't have any new premiums. We would happily be donating full DVD sets of the entire conference, but what's the point of doing that if they're not going to get sent out? So look for information on how to get full DVD sets elsewhere. But we do want people to support the radio station. We just don't want them to be mad at us for premiums not going out.
Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate the compliment on how the streaming worked. We were speaking about this a little bit earlier, and it's sort of a wild thing to imagine that all of that information made it out there fairly immediately because of the resources we had, and in some cases it helped us keep things safe. And deal with a really high amount of interest, but we were moving some things, doing a bit of post-conference work, and it was just amazing to kind of think about, wow, that this information is out there and in the consciousness proper already, and typically this takes us a month or two or a little while to catch up before we can get different formats out there, and this was just a godsend to have the resources and have it done so well.
And I regret to say that I don't regret to say the song is ending because we have one more coming up. That's why I don't regret it. There's another song, one final song after this one. I guess it ended a little abruptly. The final song is also from Dropmire, and it is called Night Watch, and it was used to move people from one room to another or out of a room or into a room between talks. Intermission music is what we call it. And it's my solemn duty to inform you that we won't be able to fit this song because we're off in 9 minutes and the song is 12 minutes, but I think you'll get the idea for the most part. But folks, in the minutes that we have left, Mike, Rob, Kyle, Bernie, there's so much that we have not covered, so much that happened at the conference. So in that brief amount of time, does anybody care to step up and try to throw some words in about some of the things that happened that in addition to the talks? I mean, the talks were amazing. We had 100 of them, a lot of them dealing with surveillance and post-Snowden revelations and things like that. But there was more than just the talks, correct?
There was. Our friend Mitch Altman was, of course, doing his Hacker Johnny Appleseed thing with teaching people to solder and build and all that kind of action. There was a truly great lineup of films that were shown at the conference, curated by Finn Brunton. There was a brilliant set of sculptures and artwork set up by various artists. Interesting stuff. Great selection of vendors and concerts. That were pretty mind-blowing, electronic music concerts that went on till the wee hours of the evenings and featured some really groundbreaking stuff.
I heard nothing but good things about that as well, and wow, it was just so many things happening in different places at the same time.
You mentioned the fantastic movies, right?
Yes, he mentioned the fantastic
popcorn.
Movies. And Bernie, you did a lot of work getting those movies to show at the conference as well.
Yeah, back and forth with TV and movie people was a lot of work here.
So I hear.
Particular about how they want it, but we got it all together. We had a great lineup of some really fantastic films, very emotional films. There was hardly a dry eye in the house during the Aaron Swartz documentary, The Internet's Own Boy. There were some moving and important films. A film about whistleblowers. A film by our friend Johannes that he produced for €5,000, which got great reviews.
Not only was there a film by Johannes, there was an amazing rant by Johannes on Sunday afternoon, which people are still talking about. I was upstairs doing something else, but I was watching on our Twitter feed, hashtag HopeX, and people were just quoting the many things that he was saying, and they were all spot on. And, he was basically criticizing when you follow people, not what the people stand for, but when you just follow people unquestioningly. And, you know, Edward Snowden's parents were at the conference. They had a terrific time. They fell in love with the community. And they were in the front row for that. And they got it. You know, there's nothing there that was offensive in any way because Johannes was criticizing people who blindly follow what Snowden is doing. It's about thinking for yourself. It's about individualism and all of that. So one of many, many talks. But, yeah, the film itself, I have not seen that either. Just one of many creative outlets that people at the conference had.
Good stuff.
All right.
We're going to have to do that again next time.
I would hope so. And, Kyle, you're busy studying the program there. You see something else of interest, workshops and other things? Yes? No?
Yeah, I'm flipping through it. I'm just trying to think of all the stuff that did happen. Gosh, I don't know what I want to speak to either. Go ahead.
All of our brains are fried right now.
Yeah,
our instant recall is not very good. We're fried.
I would like to invite people who went to the conference to share their memories of the things they enjoyed. We can't take any more phone calls, but write to us, oth@2600.com.
Well, write to us for the show, oth.com. If you have feedback for the conference, we have a special email address. Bernie, would you like to give that one out?
It is feedback@hope.net. I've run into a whole bunch of people during and after Hope, and asked them to give us their real serious critique about what they like, but more importantly, what they think we could do better or differently or add to the conference, because we're always looking for constructive feedback, and we're hoping to get a lot of it this time.
Yeah, and I think it's the feedback of the past that helped steer us in a direction that allowed us to do all kinds of things we didn't do before. I know we had better a vendor turnout than before. I think they were very happy with the way things went as well, and our attendees were certainly interacting with them quite a bit, and just so many other different activities and features that we had.
Yeah, and I also want to thank the retro computing people. They helped out. I was also thinking about this when we were doing cleanup that the original 2600 Z100 machine is in their good hands and is being restored.
We had a ceremony at the closing ceremony, a little mini ceremony within the closing ceremonies, where we basically sent off the Z100 into the hands of the March people, Mid-Atlantic Retro Computer Hobbyists. Is that right, Bernie?
Yeah, Mid-Atlantic Retro Computing Hobbyists.
So they now have our machine from the 1980s. We displayed it up on stage for a while. Really, really heavy, too. So it literally had to be wheeled out of there. And everybody was applauding it for its basically getting us started, its service over the many years. And hopefully one day it'll come back into that room to similar applause and we can put it back to work.
Yeah, and I know it will be, because walking around their area and looking at all of the machines they had up and running and on display, I'm really excited to see what comes back from that. And they actually remarked that they were able to provide props for the AMC show, Halt and Catch Fire, which we had no idea, but we saw a lot of those machines in the show when we were watching a couple of
episodes. I was wondering why there were so many Z100 machines.
Yeah.
Because back then there weren't that many Z100 machines being used. I can tell you that right now.
Okay.
I was always very frustrated that I had a cool machine and everybody else was using IBM PC Juniors or garbage like that. It was an amazing thing seeing that being put together as well.
Absolutely. And having groups like that, people that are really, really passionate and working really hard and able to collaborate, that's a thrill for us, because we get to see other people shine and show off their expertise a little bit, and that's energizing. It's a really good feeling.
It's great to see kids getting into that as well, into retro computing and things like that. Also, lock picking. We had huge lock picking seminars and talks, and we had a 2-hour bit on elevator hacking, which we deliberately didn't schedule until Sunday afternoon for the hotel, so that they wouldn't have to worry about that too much. But it was well attended, very well attended, and noted in just about every article I've seen about the thing. We are out of time, folks. We could go on for hours and hours about this, but we probably collapse. Write to us again. Feedback about the conference, feedback@hope.net. Feedback for the radio show, oth@2600.com. Don't forget to call 212-209-2950. Support WBAI. Keep us alive. Keep this place here so that we have a location, a means of speaking about stuff.
And so that they can get us some thumb drives for our premiums.
That would be nice, too. 212-209-2950. It's Manuel for Off the Hook. Thanks, everybody who attended, who was a part of HopeX. And we'll see you next week. Good night. Yeah.